Last week, I swear, I saw a little red-headed kid in a coonskin cap eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I was like, oh my god, this could have been 1952.
In a what cap?
A coonskin cap.
Yeah, you know, what Daniel Boone.
Lewis, sorry. I'm going to go away in a minute. Behave yourself.
Yeah, I'm behaving. Okay, let's get Lila on here. Boy.
You can't name a poodle Gandalf. I'm sorry, you just can't.
I don't give a shit if you don't believe me. It's rather bizarre watching Pooh Bear doing BMX stunts.
Oh, that's so nice.
Hey, that's my car! That's my best Mark Hamill.
Oh, that's funny. Dick Van Dyke's in the room.
That's right.
Oh, blimey, love a duck, Mary Poppins. I love you, Leela. Oh, yeah, come and sweep our chimney, girl.
She's a good mom, I'm hoping. I'm hoping that she's a good mom. Leela's going to blow up a...
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
Oh, that was the one thing I forgot. I forgot a can of Diet Coke.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Ready.
We're waiting for you, young puppy.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol. It is the 4th of July weekend, Independence Day, here in the good old U.S. of A, as we record this. And I don't know what it is over in Great Britain. What would that be, Dale? Just the 4th of July, right?
It's Sunday.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Happiness Patrol.
Yet another calendar day, unlike the Americans who seem to pick a random one to celebrate.
Actually, we like to call this National Blow Your Fingers to Hell and Back Day. So welcome once again to the Happiness Patrol. Today on the Happiness Patrol, we're very excited because it's our big Season 5 wrap-up. Last week, we saw the Big Bang, the season finale of Doctor Who. And Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat did not disappoint, I have to say. All those kids with your t-shirts and Moffat we trust, you're dead on the money, that's for sure, because
bloody geeky if you're wearing a t-shirt that says in Moffat we trust.
So we're going to basically recap the entire season,
are we?
Guess we are. We're going to recap all the high points. We're going to hit the high points of the entire season 5. Along with that, we're also going to we're very happy to announce the winner of the Sam Stone David J. Howe book giveaway. We had Sam and David on last week, and they were absolutely wonderful. We really enjoyed them. We need to have them on all the time because they're just great. We got a lot of good feedback, and thank you guys so much for coming on once again. Sam Stone and David J. Howe with his publishing company, Telos Publishing.
Telos
Publishing. Thank you, Dale.
Not Telos.
Telos. Telos, will you please?
Tell us about it. No, Telos, as in the secondary planet of the Cybermen, after they got rather screwed on the first one.
So we have Dale with us. Dale, welcome. Once
Thank
again.
Thank you, actually.
Your weekly.
Who's this Dale person? Yes. I never heard of it. Get on with it.
And we also, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, City of Sin, we have our good little girl, Miss Leela Sandstrom. Leela?
Hey, guys.
From San Francisco, California, the city by the bay, everybody say hello to Nancy A. Hey, Nancy.
Hey there.
Welcome.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Happiness Patrol, Nancy. Nancy is sitting in today for our dearly, well, no, I guess I shouldn't say dearly departed. She's so close to my heart, I can't even tell you. Miss Tara W. is sick today, and she called in sick. She's not going to be able to join us, so which basically means Nancy was kind enough to come in and sit in for us because we needed a nice, experienced female voice
knitter.
At the helm. Knitter.
We needed a token knitter.
We needed a token knitter, so, and we
they
got
can,
one.
They can go, bullshit!
Nancy's a member. Nancy, no, please no. Nancy's a member of Ravelry.com, and we had a really great time earlier this year at Galley over in California with all the Ravelry girls. So a big shout out to those knitters out there, and they're working their fingers to the bones, bringing you Doctor Who scarves and all kinds of many doctors and things like that. Right, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. Well, those are crocheted. We crochet little doctor. I made a TARDIS hat.
You made a TARDIS hat?
I made a TARDIS hat.
On the inside.
This and a whole lot more on this July 4th Independence Day version of the Happiness Patrol. And you know what, gang? It starts right now. Welcome, everybody, to the Happiness Patrol. It's season wrap-up time. You know, a lot of these other podcasts are probably doing season wrap-ups, but you don't want to listen to theirs. We're different here on the Happiness Patrol. You know why, Dale?
We have quiche.
Yes, we do. Did you try the quiche, Nancy?
It was delicious.
Thank you. It was, I'm sure, Leela, did you have some?
No.
Or did you just drink the Kool-Aid?
Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah, right. So, Tara, we miss you. Come back soon. Or we're sorry that you're sick. I'm sorry that you have the sickness of Moltar. But, you know, come on back soon. But until then.
Tara.
we just had the best season of Doctor Who I've seen in a long time, and Stephen Moffat really outdid himself. Matt Smith, all the naysayers that are, well, actually, I shouldn't say naysayers, they weren't really naysayers, they were more like David Tennant fangirls is what they were.
Well, no. It happens every time we get a new Doctor. Oh no, I like the old Doctor Who, I don't think the new one will be any good, he can't possibly be as good as him, because he's my Doctor, and then four episodes later it's like, oh my god, he's fantastic!
it was quite amusing, simply because I don't think it took four episodes. It didn't take four episodes at all.
I don't think it took 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were just, you know, it's been like 13 episodes of pure joy, quite honestly. Or 10, if you count like the two parts as one. I don't know.
Stories.
Yeah. But all in all, you know, the entire season was one giant story, you know, with just little chapters in between. So that's the way I like to think of that. But boy, where do I even start? I mean, I was thinking
start at the beginning.
Well,
it's a very good place to start. Sorry.
Well,
that sound of music's drifting in there.
You've got the 11th hour, the beast below, victory of the Daleks, or as we like to call them, Spitfires in space, time of angels, flesh and stone, vampires of Venice, or as we like to call them here on the Happiness Patrol, the big ripoff, because it was just space fish from space. Well, but anyway, Amy's Choice, The Hungry Earth, Cold Blood, Vincent and the Doctor, oh my god, and The Lodger, Pandora Opens in the Big Bang. My god, what a great season this was. And Dale,
yes,
what do you think? I mean did Matt Smith, you know, come through for you or what?
I've adored Matt more than, actually, I can actually say, although I've loved all the Doctors, you know, every single one since day one, I think this series for me has been the best since it came back. Because the Doctor's been consistently brilliant, and say, so as much as some people don't like Amy, or some people don't like Rory, or some people don't like the Doctor, whatever, the whole thing has worked beautifully for me.
What do you think, Nancy?
You know, overall, yes, I did enjoy it. I really did. But in my mind, I keep comparing Moffat with RTD. And I think Moffat is much better at plotting and, like, planning out the whole season just really held together, series.
Uh-huh.
The whole series really held together for me. But I do kind of miss the RTD characters. You know, I kind of like the way his characters had depth. you know, in the conversations. I mean, he loves writing the conversations, you know, the coffee tables.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was really nice the way he did the, you know, he could get all those little character moments without being blatant about it. But no, I do have to go back and watch the whole series over again.
Uh-huh.
And see, you know, not week by week how I feel about it. There were some really big highlights where I loved the 11th hour. I did. I mean, it was fast paced. The story was really strong. Beast Below was a little weak for me. Victory of the Daleks I liked. I did, you know, I know a lot of the fanboys were complaining about the new Dalek design, but it's like, you know, whatever.
You know, Teletubbies!
They're fine. They're a little Teletubby, but I'm cool. Yeah.
I think the point that you brought up about comparison, I think that's just a natural thing that happens every time. Just like Dale said, you know, it's a new doctor. I love my doctor for better. Blah blah blah. Yeah. He's my doctor. But quite honestly, you know, these are valid points because everybody's going to think that. Everybody's going to think that. But I really. Gosh, Matt Smith was the doctor, boom. He was the doctor right there.
Definitely.
And like coming out of an amazingly popular doctor like David Tennant, it is quite a feat to pull something like that off right in the first 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he does seem more, you know, classic doctor-like than Tennant was. Tennant was more, you know, a little too human. But, yeah, I mean, he's got that quirkiness, and he's got mannerisms. I mean, it's just, he is the doctor.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your point about Victory of the Daleks, because I was looking over this list, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to have to, like, point out, like, some of my favorite episodes, you know. And you know, one of them is... is The Lodger, which is one that a lot of people just don't seem to like for one reason or another. But boy, I tell you, The Lodger and Victory of the Daleks, for very subtle reasons, they're the ones that I like the most, simply because they're almost two standalone sort of stories. That really just, you know, they were like little gems in this thing. I mean, the 11th hour, Vincent and the Doctor, the Big Bang, those are like the most amazing stories of this entire season. Of course, nobody's going to deny that. But, you know, when it comes down to like, you know, little bits and vignettes of things, I just love the way the Doctor is trying to be human, you know, in The Lodger and failing miserably, and the way in Victory of the Daleks you get this entire alternate history of World War II, it's total fantasy, but I love it, absolutely love it. It was really fun. Lilo, tell me what you think.
This season, I think, has been my favorite since the show came back, and from the moment the 11th hour began and we saw Matt Smith's Doctor, I knew I just absolutely loved him, and I actually didn't compare him at all to David Tennant or any of the past Doctors, because I knew that he was going to be his own Doctor, and I knew he was going to be brilliant, and I was just so excited to see what he would do with it. And he didn't disappoint, and Stephen Moffat didn't disappoint in his writing or plots or anything. I thought it was just a fantastic, fantastic season overall. There were a couple episodes that, you know, I didn't love as much, but I think if there weren't those couple of episodes that I didn't love, absolutely love, that it just wouldn't be as fun to watch anymore. You know, so... Beast Below wasn't, you know, one of my favorites, and neither was The Lodger, but I still loved each episode for what they brought into the whole plot of the season.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with Lila, too. Those were definitely not my favorites of the series. I liked Vampires of Venice, and, you know, a lot of people were kind of dissing it, but, you know, I was cool with the fish from space, you know, but I liked the whole atmosphere, and I liked that, you know, I liked that they were going back and they brought Rory, you know, that was nice. I loved Rory. I thought he was great. you know, from,
you know,
from
that brings us up to something something else here, a little subject. Characters. You know, Nancy, you were saying that, you know, you miss the way Russell T. wrote the conversations between the characters.
Yeah. He really is good at that.
No one's going to deny that.
But like I said, Moffat's way better at engineering a plot.
Uh-huh.
And in my perfect world, they could be, like, together.
Uh-huh. I got you.
You know, my daughter and I were talking about this, that we thought that if you could, like, have them collaborate on a story, that would just be completely awesome because they complement each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm interested by this. You find that the RTD found it easier to write characters or character speeches.
Well, it's what he's really good at, I think.
It is, absolutely. But the thing he was really bad at was endings.
Yes,
he never tied up any bloody loose ends. He just left them hanging there with all the fans going, excuse me, what was that about? With Moffat's season, you know, not to denigrate RTD, because I absolutely adore the man. He brought Doctor Who back and made such an amazing job of it. But I thought the ending for the Stephen Moffat season, where he actually went back and said, okay, this happened in this episode, this happened here, and all the fans who were nitpicking going, no, actually, I think you'll find that was wrong in that episode, they were all suddenly shut the hell up, because it all been explained, and it was beautifully done.
Oh yeah, it was definitely well thought out. You know, you could tell he when he started, he knew where he was going to end, and he just filled in all the little blanks in between. Where I think RTD tended to say, "Oh, let's build up to this," and "Oh, I have to get out of this corner now. What am I going to do?" And just, "Oh, hand wave, that'll
reset
work.
Button."
So he wrote himself into the corner.
Button,
well,
Moffat did do the reset button, but it was a clever reset button. But it was a little resetty. It was actually big resetty, going back to the Big Bang, you know, rewriting all the history. I call that a reset button.
That's a hell of a reset button, for sure.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a reset button on the same dramatic scale that Superman has a reset button when he turns back time on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's a reset button that's actually not a reset button, you know, because although it blatantly is and somebody's pressed it and time is reversing, it doesn't appear to be a reset button, unlike Russell's one, which just kind of like, oh, look, let's do this, and the Doctor ends up alone again.
It's a cleverer reset button.
It is. Yeah. It's a reset button that's not painted red.
While you're
getting your winner,
right?
I've started reading the Vampire Gene trilogy Sam Stone. I mean, I'm just getting into book one.
Uh-huh.
It's very good.
Really?
Very, very good.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, it's great fun. So, hurrah, loving it. I've got two and three quarter books to go. Hurrah.
Groovy. You know, and speaking of Sam Stone, we had Sam and David J. Howe on last week, and they were absolutely lovely, I have to say. And we're very happy to announce that they're up for nominations for the British Fantasy Society Awards. Futile Flame, Sam's book, is up for Best Novel, and she's up against Stephen King, for crying out loud. You know, so, you know, this apparently this is a big deal.
Stephen King, for crying out loud.
Not for crying out loud, but Stephen King, comma, for crying out loud. So David's press, Telos Press, is up for the Best Small Press, and also a book that they're putting out called It Lives Again is up for Best Nonfiction. So we had a little contest last week. Whoever would email us, the first one to email us with the correct answer, would win a copy of Killing Kiss and Futile Flame, signed by Sam Stone herself. And all you had to do was name the actress played the head vampire in Vampires of Venice. And Leela, you know that one, right?
No.
You don't?
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, Nancy,
I'd like to point out.
Oh, not off the top of my head.
I bet Dale does. Dale?
K9 was the first one to email him with about 0.3 of a second, but apparently he's not allowed to enter anymore.
K9's not allowed. He's too super smart. So the answer to that was Helen McCrory. And she played Rosanna Cavallari, of the Cavallari fish from space family. So so that was pretty cool. And we had one winner on both of these, by the way, Dale. The other question was to win a copy of It Lives Again by Axel Caroline. She's the wife of director Neil Marshall, and the question was, name two films directed by Neil Marshall, and he's done a lot of things like Dog Soldiers and Doomsday, but the correct answer that our winner emailed in was Descent, The Descent, and The Descent 2. So,
oh, come on.
It's
the Descent,
true.
The Descent 2?
There is a movie. There's a sequel to
I
it.
I know
so.
There is, but that is
Descent
so,
2.
So
yeah, you think, well, it's okay. Anyway, I'd like to give a big, big ol'. Congratulations to Happiness Patrol winner, Miss Tanya Weiner. She is the winner of the Sam Stone David J. Howe book giveaway, and those books are in the mail as we speak, my dear.
Well,
straight to you.
Well
so,
done, you.
Yes, so, Tanya, look out. Make sure you, when you get them, snap a picture and put it up on your Facebook so we can put it on the old Happiness Patrol blog spot so everybody can see. So, we'll probably have these have been really fun little contests. But anyway, Melissa Ray Davis won our three copies of Doctor Who Weekly, issue number 1, 2, and 3, and we're still waiting to get a picture from Melissa. So Melissa, if you're out there, you should have your prize by now. If you don't, please email me and let me know, because something's gone on with the priority mail system here in the U.S. which is
or somebody in a police box
or somebody in a police
stole
box
them for the post box. Oh, no.
In the future, so you never know. So so Melissa is going to send us a picture with her prizes, and we're going to put it up on the blog spot, so stay tuned for that. So it'll all be good. Do you think that we'll see a in the near future a season ender that is not going to literally destroy the entire universe? I mean,
that would be refreshing.
Wouldn't
I would kind of,
yeah.
I was kind of hoping for that a little bit, but you know,
I can see why I did it for season one.
Yeah,
I really,
yeah.
really can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's Matt's first season. You needed a big season ender for a big Doctor, you know, for literally to blow the whole thing amazingly to an end. And he did that absolutely beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could do with being a little, you know, maybe season two will be a little more, well, local, as it were. But, you know, so maybe just the Earth's going to end, or just Chelmsford or something, I don't know. Maybe they could get rid of Yosemite National Park or something, I don't know.
Now.
Yeah, so, that sort of thing, but you know, small scale is good in Doctor Who, because it doesn't always have to be the whole universe.
That's true.
Or multiverse in this group.
I mean,
you know, or reality, if you're Davros.
Because think about it, you know, I mean, you have... when Donna Noble left, you know, just that on its own would have been a great season finale.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, of course, Russell T. threw in all this other stuff. But you know, the end of time itself. But still, it's like you know, things like that could be just as dramatic as the end of the universe, so, or rewriting of the universe, to me. So I think that would I would love to see the series go someplace like that, like, you know.
Yeah, a little smaller, just destroy Ledworth, maybe.
They now,
although Ledworth
risk.
was
it was, but they now run a risk that if they do this every, you know, every series, if they do then go back to a small scale one, all the fans are going to be going, where's all the special effects, where's the universe ending, etc, etc, etc. So they've sort of made a rod for their own backs, because each year they've got to keep topping themselves now to keep everybody happy.
Well, I don't know how you're going to top, you know, destroying the entire universe or the Big Bang.
I know.
So, anyway, you know what, Dale?
Make tea.
You made a great point, Dale, a few episodes back about how Doctor Who fans are.
Anyway,
but you were basically saying that that Doctor Who fans are the most nitpicky fans that you can get.
Them and Trekkies.
Them and Trekkies, yes, yes.
Oh, and, yeah. No, not Trekkies, Trekkers, or Trekkies.
Trekkies. If you don't like Trekkie, tough shit, frankly, you're on my podcast. It's Trekkie.
The mighty dang. So, but yeah, the nitpickiness and stuff, I mean, there are some things that are going to be like, you know, what was that about? You know, what was that about? Oh, well, you know, it'll be explained, you know, near the season end or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But there are some people, you know, that I've listened to on, like, this bit of podcast or that bit of podcast, just fans in general, that are, like, so amazingly nitpicky about these things. And, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, actually, I do know how I feel about it. But for political correctness, I won't say how I feel about it.
I won't go on fan forums anymore.
Well, you know what I noticed is it's kind of interesting to see what different things people are annoyed by. It's like some people are really annoyed by the new Daleks, and some people are really annoyed by, you know, the fish people from space. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of almost a personality detector to figure out what bugs you about this episode. The space whale bugged me. Okay.
Oh, it bugged me too.
Yeah, well, you know, the space whale, I was going to tell you about the space whale.
The star whale, that was it.
Yeah, I was like, people were saying, like, well, why didn't the doctor see the whale underneath the big, you know, London in space, or England in space? And I was like, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, damn it, that seems really like a colossal mistake not to have some sort of establishing shot. And and they really didn't. You know, and the doctor didn't see that. But you know what? A fan had pointed out that because, you know, at the end of that episode, whether they could, like, you know, set the space whale free or not, you know, that the space whale stayed, but you didn't see, and it was just assumed that, you know, these big chains and everything and all these hooks and stuff that were in the space whale just sort of, like, you know, let go, and the bottom half of this amazing ship just sort of, like, you know, fell away. And then, like, underneath, you see the space whale with the with all of England on its back. You know what I mean?
Good point.
So it was like, in the story. It was in the story. You know, but you know what? That's not good enough for me. And I'll tell you why. Because you need to have an establishing shot in a visual medium like television. You know, if it was radio, rock and roll. But if it's TV, you need that establishing shot to begin with, especially if you're going to go back at the end of the episode and show the naked space whale with England on its back, you know. So and I think that was a big mistake in the production's part. Because
nitpicking with Doctor Who?
I am not nitpicking. I'm actually responding to a nitpick that I had seen or heard online.
Boo.
The other day.
Yes.
And but it was a big thing because, like, a lot of people didn't understand, you know, why didn't the doctor see the space whale to begin with?
Maybe the TARDIS was above it.
Yeah, but still, he's the doctor, you know, he's got things, he's got sensors, he's got things on the TARDIS, you know. So
maybe the actual thing that was covering the whale had sensor baffling devices, had shields.
Oh, what was it?
Perception filter.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So Doctor Who is full of
filter is a great get out of jail free card.
It really is. It really, really is.
Or, you know, it could be as simple as something from Forest of the Dead with Tennant, where it says, you know, oh, nothing can interrupt the sonic screwdriver. Well, some hair dryers, but we're working on it. I'm like, okay, so who's using a hairdryer? So it's, if you actually think about Doctor Who mythos, it is so full of bloody plot holes that you could drive yourself mental thinking, I think this is a fault with the production, or I think this is a fault in the plotting. No, you just get on with it. You think, okay, it didn't work for me personally. That is my problem.
yeah, really. And like Nancy said...
I watched it. I didn't stop to think, why didn't the doctor see that? Why hasn't the TARDIS actually flown up from underneath the whale and seen it there? It didn't. It was flying in space with Pond, and then it landed on the damn ship. What's the problem?
Well, I think Amy Pond would definitely distract me. So, but
I was going to say, you know,
from giant space whales. Go ahead.
No, I do have one thing I thought was kind of cool about the whole series was there were like these little references to classic children's stories and myths. Mm-hmm. You know, the Beast Below was like Alice in Wonderland. You know, they're going, you know, down the rabbit hole. You know, and Victory of the Daleks, what's his name? The professor. He was Pinocchio. He became a real boy.
Yeah.
And in Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone, Amy's wandering around in her little red hoodie. She's Red Riding Hood. And then you've got Pandora's Box. And it was like, you know, I need to write down like all the little historic, you know, myths and fairy tales that pop up this season. But I bet you can find one for every single episode.
Probably. That will be your new assignment.
That will be my assignment.
Happiness Patrol reporter. Report back next week.
I'm still like, you know, getting back into the swing of things after my week up in the mountains.
Technology free.
My brain is still by the lake knitting.
So, Leela.
Yes.
Tell me, what were your favorite monsters out of this whole season?
Well, the Weeping Angels have always been one of my favorite monsters since, you know, we saw them back in in the third series. And so to see them come back was just, oh, so exciting. And, you know, everyone knows my notorious hate for River, but it was worth it. But, it was great because, you know,
she hates River, but she has her shoes.
I do have River shoes.
There you go.
Because those shoes are awesome. River is not.
They are. So.
Please refer to episode 25 of the Happy Patrol video showing Leela's shoes.
Is there a Facebook page for River shoes?
There may be.
Yes, there is.
I think
I'm
a member.
Oh, I need to join that now.
So the Weeping Angels were your favorite monster.
The Weeping Angels, yeah, definitely were my favorite monster. And it was fun because, you know, in the last time we saw them, we didn't know a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one really expanded on, you know, what we know and, you know, what they can do.
Uh-huh.
Which was really interesting to see how he did it. And plus it was a two-parter, so it gave us a lot more time to explore that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, it was weird to see them move. You know, to actually see them.
Dude, that scared the hell out of me, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I squealed like a small child when that damn thing's head turned round with that horrible grinding stone. Oh, Jesus Christ, I nearly pooped
myself. It's not just that they move, it's that you can hear them move, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They sound like they're made of stone.
And when, literally, as soon as it turned round and looked at her, I was like, ah! Squealing and jumping off the sofa and trying to get my legs up underneath me just in case there was one lurking underneath the settee. Oh, it's yeah, they were worrying. They really were.
Well, you know, golly, there were some good ones. I really just for pure spook value. See, in The Lodger, when you see, like, the character in the top of the stairs in shadow, and you can't really tell who they are or what they are, you know? That was pretty spooky for me. That was a pretty damn spooky moment.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
Oh, what was that?
The nun at the top of the stairs of the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah, it did. Oh, my God.
The one who just glides backward and the door slams shut. I was like, Jesus, it's her. So, yeah, I figured it was her up there with possibly Jake and Elwood.
That and, Amy's choice. The dream lord. The dream lord.
I liked him.
Yeah.
He was
very spooky.
He was. He was amazingly spooky. And when you realize that, you know, he's the dark side of the doctor, he's even spookier to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and those aren't exactly... I guess I don't know if you can call those actual monsters, because you know there was no makeup or anything like that truly involved. But yeah, they were the bad guys, and they were truly spooky bad guys for sure. As far as like monsters are my favorite monsters. The Daleks in Victory of the Daleks, before they went all Teletubby Dalek, they were really spooky to me, because
the Ironside Daleks.
Yeah, because
camo Daleks.
They weren't you know that the viewer knows that they're Daleks. Everybody else is like going, you know, oh well, there are Ironside.
Well, invented these, yes, it's fine,
exactly.
Yeah.
But when you know that these Daleks are like, you know, doing something spooky and undercover, it's kind of really creepy, especially when you see them sort of like move, you know, in the doorway or whatever. Little things like that were like the joy in this season for me, you know, because it was really, really fun to watch that, because you know something's going to happen, but the suspense is built up and it hasn't happened yet. So yeah, I guess that's probably the big thing to me. Moffat and company, they know how to do the suspense. You know, and that was really good. That was really.
They know how to work those camera angles, especially on those Daleks.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Those were the Dalek coming out from behind the thing on the roof. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but
well, to everybody who hates the new Daleks and doesn't like their Teletubby colors, etc., I'd like to say, firstly, shut the hell up, and B, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had that absolutely freaking horrific stone Dalek at the end.
That was
that thing was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Literally, if that's the last time we ever see them, fine, whatever. But that Dalek, yeah, with its knackered bit stony plunger and bits missing off its eye, but the fact you could just see the lights still working underneath the dome light bits underneath the stone, and it looked horrible, because all you could see lit up was this horrible alien eyeball thing, and you know, still being a Dalek-y thing and still managing, I'd love to know how it managed to fly when it's made of stone, frankly, but there you are,
alien eyeball. Yeah, well,
but it was absolutely bloody right. The stone Dalek was just stunning.
Boy, I like that. I mean, there were so many great moments in this entire season, from the 11th hour all the way to the Big Bang and back again, you know.
Yep.
The wedding of Amy was fantastic.
That was very nice. Mm-hmm. And the Doctor and Tails. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes.
The makeup on the Silurians. It was incredible.
Oh yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that a lot. The whole work that went into creating the atmosphere of the underground Silurian race, you know, in their city was just fantastic.
Oh yeah, that was gorgeous.
The comic events in the Lodger. Gee whiz, that was hilarious, you know. The amazing emotional pull of Vincent and the Doctor. That one, I think a lot of people are saying that that's their absolute favorite of the entire season.
That's my absolute favorite of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say it's my second. I still like 11th Hour the best.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, but who's going to beat little Amelia Pond? You know, you can't beat that.
And I love that she came back.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and
yep.
And if I had a dime for every fish finger and custard eaten person out there, I'd be a rich, rich man.
You'd have $2.34.
$2.34. Thank you. So we went over favorite monsters, favorite moments, Did we go over favorite moments? Wait a minute.
No.
Best characters. Okay, let's talk about these characters for a second. You've got Rory, who came in. Well, I guess he came in at the beginning, but still,
yeah.
it he feels like he didn't really start doing anything until Vampires of Venice. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Rory was great to me only in the end. I didn't even start really liking him until Amy's Choice, and then he was killed off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many times is that poor guy going to die?
Actually, my teenage daughter and her friends were screaming about Rory dying.
Oh, really? Were they big Rory fans?
They were very unhappy.
So you think a lot of girls, a lot of young teenage girls like Rory?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're...
We have a young teenage girl right here, Leela.
I love Rory.
Yeah, I think you're right, Nancy. All the teenage girls love Rory.
They all ship Rory Amy, you know, big time.
It's true.
Oh my god, Leela, what did your younger sister think about Rory?
I don't actually know. She never watches it with
me. Oh, she doesn't watch it with you?
No, she never does.
Oh, I thought that she did.
No, the only time the only episode she ever watched with me this season was The Big Bang, and that was the one where I kept telling her to shut up if she ever said anything.
No wonder she doesn't watch it with you.
She should know that she shouldn't sit there and go, what? How did that happen?
Indeed, you do not talk during Doctor Who. It is a cardinal sin for which you can die.
Watch it. You watch now, discuss later. Shut up.
Yeah. Gotcha. Wait till Sunday morning to discuss, right?
Yeah. Wait till showing number 3.
Oh, God. Nancy, is it that bad at your house?
Well, you know, that was the first thing we did when we got back from our week-long vacation up in the Sierras. It's like, okay, we're back.
We got to catch up on Doctor Who.
Because my daughter had to go to a sleepover where her geeky girlfriends were. It's like, you better watch it now or they're going to totally spoil you. So
the GGFs.
Yeah.
The
geeky girlfriend.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be GGF. What's GGS?
GGF. GGF. The
geeky girl squad.
Geeky girlfriends, yeah.
Geeky girl squad, yes, because there's more than one group of them, I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah, you're going to do pick of the week. If you want me to do a pick of the week, my pick of the week.
Hey,
Rebus operation.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the pick of the week. We've missed it so, haven't we, Leela?
Yes.
Leela, make it more believable than that.
I was like, none of us would ever have one.
You should watch enough Doctor Who to have one in stock.
So we're certainly going to have some pick of the weeks from now until Christmas, that's for sure. So, but yeah, pick of the week. Nancy, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the Rebus operation. Ribos? Rebus. Which
Rebus.
Is it? I can't remember. Rebus, yeah. I had it right the first time. Yeah, because I love Romana 1. I know Romana 2 gets all the love from the fanboys, but I love Romana 1.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you on that one. Mary Tam is fantastic as Romana. That scene is it in the Rebus operation or in, I think it could be in the Androids of Tara, where she's looking for the starter button on the horse.
I love the way she puts the doctor in his place. Like,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
First minute, she's just like, boy.
Well, Romana's very posh, isn't she? You know, she really is.
She's outclassing the doctor on every possible level. She's got better exams. She can fly the TARDIS. She knows it's old. The president of the High Council apparently sent her. It turns out to be the White Guardian. Literally, the whole thing is just beautiful.
Well, and she got better grades than him in school.
Oh, there you have it. Yeah, yeah.
She did indeed.
Which endears me to the doctor even more. So,
and I love
so
that.
So sorry, K-9. The holiday's off. That's the new assistant. Brilliant. Absolutely love her.
Yeah, and I love that dress. So, I made it for my daughter.
You made it for your daughter. Now, there's pictures of this online. Actually, on my Facebook, in my galley, 2010.
You got a good picture of her.
There's a great picture of her in that. And what was her nickname for, what was your nickname for that dress?
Oh, the Poultry Queen, yes.
The Poultry Queen.
The Poultry Queen dress.
Because it's all feathers. It's all feathers.
I never want to see another feather boa again, because I must have sewed like 20 of them onto this cape by hand.
There you go.
Yeah, so, that isn't being a good mom. I don't know what.
You are a very good mom. I'm telling you, it was so, it was so much fun because it looked great. It looked fabulous. It was really fabulous. And with her dark hair and everything.
Well, she wanted, you know, she wanted to be a character from Doctor Who, present, you know, current or classic series, who had dark hair. And it's like, well, there aren't that many choices of, you know, female characters with long, dark hair. And I think Romano is an excellent choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, although now, you know, after a week in the sun, her hair's kind of going red and she's thinking about doing Amy for Galley next year. Yeah.
So, Leela,
pick
of the week.
Well, I'm gonna have to take my pick of the week from this past season, and I'm gonna say The 11th Hour because I watched this with my 10-year-old cousin just a couple days ago, and he thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was just so fun watching it with him. And it's just, you know, it's Matt Smith's first episode. It's just fantastically brilliant. So. I'm going to say that one this week.
Excellent.
The 11th hour. The 11th hour.
A good choice.
Mm-hmm. Dale?
Yes?
Do you have a pick of the week, darling?
Don't call me darling. Lewis, you cannot afford me on your best day.
Oh, God.
Yes, I do. Now I've gone classic school Who, but I was feeling a bit literally because yesterday was the first day without new Doctor Who, and oh dear, literally I was sitting there about 6 o'clock thinking, I'm missing something. What am I missing? Oh my God! It's not on in 5 minutes. At which point the world rapidly falls apart. So I thought, suddenly, oh my God, I need doctors, quick, do it, I need lots of doctors. So accordingly, I've put on the 5 doctors. And it's brilliant fun. I put on the special edition that's got the Mr. Whippy, Casper the Friendly Ghost thing that nicks you instead of the decent black triangle. Yeah. But it's a pretty damn competent show. Yeah, literally, as a 90-minute romp, just to bring everything together for the, was it 20th anniversary? It was, 1983.
Yeah.
Then... it was, you know, it's great. It's fun. That's the main point about it. You know, Herndl playing Hartnell is fantastically crabby. Troughton is amazingly brilliant. The Brigadier is brilliant. Pertwee's great. Sarah's great. K-9 gets written out in early stage. Best thing for him. There's one Dalek. There's 8 billion Cybermen. And it all turns out to be Lord President Barossa. Who's a bit of a bad egg, frankly. Oh, well.
That's an understatement. But
although I'd like to point out, if you do have the special edition version, which has 2 versions, you can either watch the original or the special edition with all the zapped up effects. What's the original? Because if nothing else, they got the right noises for the TARDIS console, and it lands the right noise in the Tomb of Rassilon, which really irritates me on the special edition.
Hmm.
What does it default to? Does it default to the new or the classic?
No, it's on 2 discs.
Oh, okay.
So there's one on each disc, but I think the classic version is so... I mean, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, but there are little tweaks that they've added in the special version, which I don't like.
Hmm.
So, and they got rid of the nice bing where the console lands. It used to have this very nice, lovely, calming landing chime. You go bling, and the column would go down, all the lights would go out, and that lovely calm 80s TARDIS noise would come on. And they got rid of it in the special edition and had it landing from inside. And he thought, it hasn't done that since Tom Baker piloted it. Shut the hell up. And it lands to the wrong noise, and the Cybermen are trying to blow it up with a coffin. And, oh, do you know, it's absolutely brilliant. Oh, and there's that man in Lycra. It's a Raston warrior robot, the tightest partying outfit known to man. Sorry, the most evil killing machine ever devised. And if it does detect movement, any movement, how come it didn't shoot him when he turned his head to talk to Sarah? Anyway, moving on.
My pick of the week, if you're out there and you hadn't seen any good classic Who in a while, here's one that always sends me. I just absolutely love it. I can always smile every time I watch it. It's Tom Baker and beautiful Sarah Jane in her Andy Pandy costume in
Hand of Fear.
The Hand of Fear.
I love that.
Eldred must live.
Eldred
must live. I mean, for crying out loud. Number one, it's Tom Baker and Sarah Jane, which is an unbeatable combo in my opinion. And number two, hey, it's in a quarry. Starts in a quarry.
And it's actually meant to be a quarry.
Yeah, it's actually meant to be a quarry. So that's pretty great.
That's a good story.
I love the story. The story's really fab. And the fact that Elizabeth Sladen gets to play like her evil twin self, or not evil twin, but you know this whole possessed
thing.
Yeah. And she carries it all so greatly in that outfit. So,
Looking at Andy Pandy. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, I would like to point out, you know, Eldrad must live. It's not going to be a problem. She's keeping it fresh in a Tupperware box.
Yes.
Every time she seals it, you can hear her go and burping it just to make sure there's no air left in the box. But I thought female Eldrad was amazing.
Oh, absolutely amazing.
Male Eldrad was bloody awful and useless.
Yeah, I can't even remember. I can't even remember male. All I remember is like that amazing makeup and costume on the female Eldrad, because that was just hot, dude.
She was brilliant.
Yeah, she was really good. Great actress. What a looker and fantastic. And the other thing is this was Sarah Jane's last adventure with the Doctor.
Yes, it was.
So
that's right.
Last proper adventure.
And it was probably one of the best departures for a companion they've ever done.
Yeah.
It was so beautifully underplayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love that. I love it. It was like, oh, don't forget me, Sarah Jane. Which, oddly, they didn't. They completely echoed in the Sarah Jane adventures with Tennant's Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was the, oh, don't forget me, Sarah Jane Smith. And he goes, oh, don't you forget me. You know, it's all very underplayed. And then in the Sarah Jane adventures, he says the same thing to her. Don't you forget me, Sarah Jane Smith. And she says, oh, nobody will ever forget you.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was now. Oh, no, I can. But it's beautifully done. I love the Hand of Fear. It's a really nice one. And even the TARDIS looks reasonably decent in it. It's the Newbery box.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does look good. So that's a great one. So, yeah, we got our nice little pick of the week going on. So, hey, if you've got a pick of the week, send it in. Maybe we'll use it. Maybe we'll say something about it. You never know. It's the Happiness Patrol, for crying out loud.
Slate it and rip it to pieces.
Absolutely. So send it in at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us this week on another edition of the Happiness Patrol. Once again, it is my pleasure to personally bring you our spoutings on Doctor Who every week. and hopefully we can bring a little happiness to you. Yes, our spoutings. Spoutings of happiness and joy here on the Happiness Patrol. Tune in next week when we're going to have another.
Your Dr. Bob say. Sorry, that was just veterinarian hospital. It really was.
Hold on a second.
Join in next time.
Wait a minute.
Next
week we're not going to have a Dale. Dale, tell us where you're going to be next week.
I'm going to be a Dalek. So I'm actually off working with a gentleman by the name of Paul Cornell. He's written Doctor Who, and he's currently writing for DC Comics, etc. There's a big arts festival going on just outside London, so I'm going to be there for the weekend, ensconced inside a grey and black dustbin.
There you go. So if you're around there, make sure you go knock on every Dalek that you see and go...
There'll be one.
Dale? Dale?
Oh, very good. I'd actually like to point out, if you knock on a Dalek's head, for the poor bloody operator inside, it sounds like a thunderstorm. So don't.
Not
because then the Dalek gets cranky and runs over your foot.
So anyway, thanks for joining us on the Happiness Patrol. Leela, thank you so much for being here. Dale, thank you so much for a wonderful season 5. And Nancy, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining
us,
Nancy. You know, it's so great. And Tara, I know you're out there listening. So I hope you got plenty of Gatorade in you. I hope you got plenty of sleep and took plenty of Tylenol. Just make sure you're back next week because we won't have Dale. So we're going to need somebody.
With a big mouth.
That's
Ooh,
true.
No.
So come on.
Bad Dale. Bad Dale.
And speaking
Bad
of
Dale.
A big mouth, you can catch all the Happiness Patrol back at Issues on our blog spot. So make sure you go visit us and check out all that stuff. Lila, why don't you tell them where to go?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
That's right, and you can always be our friend on Facebook. Right, Lila?
I don't know our Facebook address.
Well, you know, just search for us on Facebook. We're there.
Yeah.
We're there. And be our friend, because we need friends. We need all the friends we can. And you know, speaking of friends, make sure if you have any kind of comments and that sort of stuff, email us at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So until next week, I'm Louis B. Nancy, that's your cue. You say, I'm Nancy
A. My cue. I'm Nancy A.
I'm Leela S.
And I'm Lord President Barusa.
See you guys next week. Bye.
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 Go away. You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol. We hope you enjoyed your stay. Come again soon. Thanks for calling. Goodbye now.
Gotta give him some credit for saying it right the first time.
Thank you, Leela.
Leela?
Yes?
I love you.
I love you, Leela.
Oh, that's funny. Dick Van Dyke's in the room.
Woohoo!
As you can tell, I'm drastically excited.
It's the magic behind the curtain, Nancy. It really is.
In the same way that the Wizard of Oz was really fucking disappointing behind the curtain as well.
I don't think I'm going to go there.
It's just the little guy pushing buttons and pulling levers and going, no, everything's going to be fine.
Fine, yes, yes.
Turn that shit off.
Leela? I don't know. You know, I don't know where the hell Leela is. That's really she's disturbing me. Darn her. Darn her, I say. Darn her.
I feel a disturbance in the force.
There is a disturbance in the force. Let me unplug.
Sorry,
that.
That'll be baked beans.
That ain't working.
Come on. You can shine. You can say whatever you like as long as it's reasonably
shine,
clean.
Shine, little glowworm. Shimmer. Go, little glowworm.
Yeah, Leela, I don't want to listen to Lewis singing. We all have to do things we don't like in life. Get on with it.
Shine, little glowworm, shine.
Shut up, Lewis.
All right, Leela. Leela, you got anything to say? Do you want to wrap it up, Leela?
My foot's asleep and I'm really hungry.
Okay, then I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Nancy, thanks so much for coming in and doing our thing, sitting in for Tara. It was great. Great.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime you need a token knitter.
We need a token. We need a token knitter. Let's call Nancy. So.
Yes, no, it was great having you on. So, loved having you around.
Thank you.
Leela.
Hang on, was I just nice to somebody?
Yes, yeah, sure. Leela, tell Nancy how much you love her.
We do. I love you, Nancy.
I love you too, Leela.
And she's waiting for that TARDIS cap. Actually, I need to see pictures of that TARDIS cap. I need to take
pictures of it, yeah.
I'm still waiting for the TARDIS Dale supposedly sent me.
I haven't sent the new one yet.
You told me you sent me one back in, like, February.
I did. No, I did send you one back in February, but it never arrived, did it? So, we were going to send you another one, but I haven't sent that one yet.
Okay.
But then time's relative.
Yeah.